But the question for all of us should be, does God reign in our hearts? Does He reign in our lives? Without doubt, God reigns, but does He reign and rule in our life? Well, it's Hebrews chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to begin to read in verse 1 and stop reading in verse 4. So if you find Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, if you would stand for the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible Word. Hebrews chapter 2. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, listen to verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard Him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. And you may be seated. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 is speaking of Christ's neglect. Now, it's one thing to pull in 5P Farms, that's the name of Donna and I's ranch, and see that the roads, after a really, really wet and torrential rains, has done to our driveway. You would immediately say, driveway neglect. And man, it seems like the rains, there's big enough holes we can bury them in. And because of those rains, it softened up the ground. When you get up and cross the cattle guard, Miss Bonnie, you'd look at our board fence and say, man, there's fence neglect. It's not real straight right now. You'd look at our yard because so much growing, you'd say, man, there's yard neglect. But then I look at animals, and it gets a little more serious. I believe if you have an animal, it ought to be one that's not neglected. We see animals that starve to death, animals that do not have the care, and we see animal neglect. But then it gets worse. How about when we look at children? We see them in a home where they're neglected. They're not wearing the clothes, they're not healthy. We call that child neglect. And all of those are serious, and the latter two are heartbreaking. But as a pastor, I'm asked, what is the toughest job of pastoring a church? And I say the hardest job of pastoring a church is watching someone step out of their seat, walk the aisle with a broken and contrite heart, and pray the prayer of salvation, get baptized, seems to be growing and doing good. Every time the doors open, I see them sitting in their seats. I see them serving the Lord. But then I'll miss them one Wednesday night, and I'll pose the question to either a staff member or my wife, did you see so-and-so there tonight? And they'd say, you know, I didn't. And I'd look for them the next week, and maybe they was back, and I thought, well, everything's okay. But then the next service, I noticed they was missing again. And I posed that question to my wife, did you see so-and-so? No, you know, I didn't. They was there last week. And then the next service comes, and it's confirmed, didn't see them. Didn't see them for about 3 services, and then 1 service. And then don't see them for several services, and then 1. And then I realize a year's passed, and I haven't seen them. That's called Christ neglect. And as a pastor, that's the most heartbreaking thing that there is in the pastorate, is to see people that pray a prayer, get a hold, put their hands to the plow, their nose to the grind, and they miss a service or two here or there, and then they're just gone. They've drifted away, as Hebrews 2:1 says, and it's simply Christ neglect. Now, if you exciting Southeast Baptist Church members don't want to break the heart of your pastor, then no Christ neglect here. And if you want a pastor that don't want to break your heart, then I don't want to have no Christ neglect right here. So let's hold one another accountable, and let's make sure that we're not Christ neglectors. Because if we are Christ neglectors, we'll find ourselves, Miss Candy, having drifted away. So tonight I just want to point out three things to everybody that's hearing my voice, whether it's physically or online streaming. Three things that will help you as the parishioners and me as the pastor from drifting away and avoiding Christ's neglect. Number one, we need to see the seriousness of the saved. Verse 1 says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Now the therefore is therefore because chapter 1 tells us that we have the ministry of the angels. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to drift away, it lets us know we're drifting. We need to heed the warning. He said, therefore we must give more earnest. We got to get serious about this. Heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. James knew the danger of Christ's neglect and drifting away because he said in his book, chapter 1, verse 22, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. But Jesus spoke to this. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine, listen to this, and does them. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he says, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. He says, because the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and the house did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But then he goes on to say, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, now catch that, both bunches heard. They both heard what he said. But then he says, but if they do not do what I say, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Here it is. The same rains descend. The same floods rise. The same winds blow. And they beat on that house, and not only did it fall, but the scripture says, great was its fall. So what was the difference? They all heard it. What was the difference? The rain and the wind and the floods, that's all the same. What's the difference? One bunch heeded, took serious the words of the Lord Jesus, done what he said, and therefore when the storms came, their house stood. And so I just want to say, if we want to avoid Christ's neglect, if we want to avoid spiritual drifting, we must be getting serious in our salvation. Now, I said this a few times to people. I hear a lot of people at roping clinics, Bible clinics that we put on. Do you know what I hear from these young men and probably more of the teenagers? Let me tell you what I hear. A lot of talk about how good they're going to be. And I'll see them the next year, and guess what? They ain't got no better. They've heard the same instructors. They've been to the same pens, but they do want to do a lot of talking. But every once in a while, I'll see one of these young kids come out of one of these clinics that's been to other clinics. And they wasn't real good. But I'll see them the next year at an event, and I'll have to say, wow. And I'll even say it backwards, wow. What in the world has happened to them? I'll tell you what's happened to them. They've took real serious their roping. They not only heard what the old people have told them, they've took it to the practice pen and they've heeded it. And I am around other sporting events. Basketball, I hear a lot of talk about up and coming superstars. But the next season comes and I'm thinking they ain't up and coming. And their star is not shining as bright as it once did. Seems they've got worse instead of better. But then every once in a while, I'll get to that next high school season. And I remember that kid that not only talked, but he seemed like he was working at it. And somebody say, man, he has made a big difference. What a player he is this year. What's happened? Well, I can tell you what happened. He's took the sport of basketball serious. And so it's no different. In the rope and pin, those that excel in the arena, they've taken it serious. And they're not only listening to the coaches and the ones that are talking and teaching to them, they are heeding it, they are putting it to practice. It's no different in the arena, it's no different on the court. And so what happens? Somebody walks the aisle and gets saved. And look here. And it's not all the time, unfortunately. But sometimes somebody will walk the aisle and get saved. And man, they go through the baptismal waters. And man, before you know it, they're working in the nursery, they're cooking in the kitchen, they're helping with the kids, they're driving the van, they're cooking. They're winning people to Jesus. They're inviting people to Sunday school. And they are coming to church. And they've got their friends and their family on their hips. You see them grabbing someone and praying with them and discipling them. And somebody maybe sitting on the pew, sitting on the sideline says, Rob, what's happened to them? I'll tell you what's happened. They got saved and they took their walk with God Almighty very serious. And so if we want to avoid Christ neglect, when we get saved, we don't just need to come to the Sunday school classes, come to church. We don't just need to read the Bible. We need to take serious what the Bible says. We need to heed it. We need to do it. And then we'll get serious about it. And guess what? You won't break your preacher's heart for neglecting Christ. And if I do the same, I won't break you, the parishioner's hearts, for neglecting Christ. If we get serious as the saved folks. Amen? Get serious about heeding, thus saith the Word of God. But secondly, if we want to avoid Christ's neglect, we need to see the steadfastness of the Scriptures. Look at verse 2. For if the Word spoken through the angels proved steadfast. Now to understand what the Hebrew writer is saying there, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the written Word of God. So if an angel of the Lord showed up, he had a word from the Lord. And when that angel showed up and told you something, you could write it down big, plain, and straight. It was going to happen. If the angel showed up in the Old Testament and said, get your rain gear out, it's going to rain. You better put on your rubber boots, you better get your raincoat, you better get your umbrella, because when the angel of the Lord spoke it, it was going to happen. And so that's what the Hebrew writer's saying. When you read the Old Testament and an angel showed up and told you how it was going to be, you could write it down. That's how it's going to be. So what he was saying is, if that was the steadfastness of an angel speaking, how much more is the steadfastness of the Word of God? Right here, my dear friends, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, and we need to understand this Bible right here is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light into our path. This is our instruction book. And I just want to tell you, we need to understand the steadfastness of the Scriptures. Now, I've shared before that when I rodeoed with this generation under the generation I'm supposed to rodeo with, when I would get in the truck with these young cowboys, I would look for Rand. And I'd say, where's Rand? And they'd look at me and say, who's Rand? I'd say, come on, McNally, Rand, McNally. Where's he at? How are we going to find these places? And they'd all just pull out their phone and say, we don't need no map. Let me tell you something. I've rodeoed with that generation. Let me tell you what's happened. Siri, she's took us on some wild goose chases. We've ended up one day on about 20 miles of dirt road. And I said to that younger generation, where's Rand? Because Rand never done this to me. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying with all the technology, all the devotion books that we rely on, I fear that sometimes we put this to the side. Pick up the devotion books. And folks, listen to me. Devotion books are not steadfast. They can have errors in them. This is steadfast. If this says it, you can write it down, and it will not lead you astray. You know, that's the reason that when Trey, just 16 years old, Tony Mack knew a feller in Illinois that loved to hunt. Trey loved to hunt, 16 years old. Tony's got me a place to hunt up there, Dad. I want to go. I said, man, there's just no way we can go. Well, I've got my license, 16 years old. He said, I can make it to Illinois. And most of you wouldn't even entertain the thought of letting a 16-year-old leave Moody's, Oklahoma and head to southern Illinois. But I knew something about that oldest boy. He's a pretty good driver, probably better than his dad. Way better than his mama. Lots better than his little brother. So what would the answer be when he begged me and begged me and begged me to go to Illinois? Hold up that phone. Point out a navigation system. I knew what the navigation system had done to me before. I just throwed down Rand McNally to him. And I simply said to Trey, a 16-year-old boy, if you can highlight and show me on this map the road you'll take to Illinois, I'll tell you what you can do. 16 years old, not even a year under your belt, you can go to Illinois. And I'm going to tell you what he done. He sat down with that map, and he showed me every road that he would go on to Illinois. So all you folks out there that think I was guilty of child neglect. At 16 years old, he went from Moody, Oklahoma to Illinois. But I would not let him do it if he wouldn't have showed me on Rand McNally the roads he would take. Folks, there's many people that rely on devotions and what preachers and teachers are saying. And so many times they don't line up with this. What a map is to those that travel the roads, this book is us. For us as Christians, as we travel the road of life. Amen. And we better understand this don't have an error. Siri can lead you astray. Rand McNally, it don't lead you astray. And this Bible will not lead us astray because it's got the roads and where we need to go. Amen. So if we want to avoid Christ neglect and don't want to drift away, we've got to see the seriousness of the saved. Secondly, we got to see the steadfastness of the Scriptures. And then look here, and I'll be through with the sermon. We better understand the sorrow of sin. Now look what it says. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and listen to this, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard him? The Lord spoke this. Your transgressions and your disobedience, you'll get rewarded for that. And he said, now you're not going to escape. And he said, this first was spoken of by the Lord and it was confirmed by those who heard him. God also bore witness, it says, both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. Now, if we're not careful, those verses right there can be somewhat complicated, but they can be simplified real easy. We've heard it a lot at Exciting Southeast Baptist. We've heard it when we've learned from mistakes, preferably not our own. God spoke in the Old Testament. And the children of Israel heard him speak in the New Testament. And when they begin to veer from the principles and precepts, transgression, sins, them doing what they wasn't supposed to be doing, come into their life, and they was disobedient and not doing what they were supposed to do. Is everybody staying with me? They got their reward. The hedge got lowered. The enemy come in. Judgment and chastisement fell on them. That's what the Hebrews writer's saying. If you look at the Old Testament, when God spoke to people and they heard Him and went on in their transgressions and went on in their disobedience, they received their just reward. They got judged. They got chastised. And listen, how shall we escape that if we neglect our salvation? If we drift from the principles and precepts, guess what? We are going to get the very same thing that the children of Israel, the children of God, got in. They're going to get chastised. Judgment's going to fall. If that's what happened in the Old Testament, guess what? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And guess what? God's not partial. And the sorrow of sin, we read about it over and over and over in the Old Testament. And guess what the Hebrew writer said? If you don't take serious your salvation, if you don't understand the steadfastness of the Scriptures, if He brought chastisement and judgment on His people in the Old Testament, who do you think you are to just keep on in your sin and your disobedience? Because you will get your just reward. How shall we escape that? We won't escape that if we neglect Christ. If we neglect our so great a salvation. And he says in verse 4, the witnesses, the miracles, the signs with various miracles and gifts which the Holy Spirit according to His own will. So, look here. In Bible days, they received it. And let me just say, that transgression, that translates the sin of commission. We hear that a lot at Exciting Southeast. That means when God has a not-to-do list, things that Christians, children of God, should not do, when you do them, that's the sin of commission, that's transgression, and guess what God says? You'll be chastised, you'll be judged for them things. But then He says, but when you're disobedience, that translates into the sin of omission. When the Bible gives us instructions to do this and that, such as pray without ceasing, study to show yourself approved, bring your tithes to the storehouse, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, sharing our faith. Folks, when we are disobedient for Him who knows to do good and does not do it, to Him that is sin. So we look at all these people that are committing these things that God tells them not to do. And as Christians, we jump back and say, look at them. They're stealing. They're lying. They're fornicating. God's book says not to do that. They're transgressing. Exactly. And they'll get their just reward if they don't confess that sin and repent of that sin. But let me tell you something, Holy Joe. Let me tell you something, Salvation Sally. That same book tells you and I that there is things we are supposed to do. And listen, when we don't do them, that's the sorrow of sin, because we'll be judged just like them. And so we need to understand the church is at where it's at today. Because we as Christians, I don't know if we fully understand the sorrow of sin. It's getting judged. It's receiving its just reward. That's why Peter said it's time for judgment to begin in the house of God. We as children of God need to understand the sorrow and the high price of sin. We've all heard it. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sure it does. We see it over and over and over in the New Testament, and God has not changed, and that's exactly what's happened. One preacher preached on sin. Preached hard. I mean hell, fire, and brimstone. Preached against sin. God forbid a preacher preach on sin. But he preached on sin hard. And a lady come up to him after service and said, now, preacher, you do know sin in the life of a Christian is much different than sin in the life of a lost person. That pastor said, I fully understand that. I don't think you do, but I fully understand it. Sin in the life of a Christian is worse. Why? Because we should know better. Why? Because we have a Holy Spirit that when we're going down the wrong road puts up a warning sign. So sin in the life of a Christian, it's different. It's worse. And so we need to understand, if we're not going to be Christ neglectors, if we want to avoid drifting away, we need to understand that the seriousness of the saved, the steadfastness of the Scriptures, and the sorrow that sin brings. Let me tell you something. Sin affects more than the person sinning. It affects all those around us. A little leaven ruins a whole lump. Exciting Southeast, we need to understand the sorrow of sin, and it needs to be confessed of and repented of so God can bless us as a local body of believers and use us to reach lost souls and to change lives in our community. Amen. So, I just don't want us to be Christ neglectors. Because when we neglect to take our salvation serious, when we neglect the steadfastness of these scriptures, we will experience the sorrow of sin. It's on the Niagara River, and it's a sign. It's far up the Niagara River, and the boaters begin to see these signs of warning, the impending falls. Now what's happening? Just imagine this with me. That water going into Niagara Falls, Niagara River, that water falls 167 feet. That's running downhill. But if you just kick that boat in neutral, you're fishing or whatever you may be doing, what's that boat doing? It's drifting. And way before that 167-foot fall that nobody's ever survived, are you with me? Way before it, there's signs. There's warnings. But it's happening so slowly that the people's got comfortable. And that's why some of them went right off the falls. Either they didn't heed or they didn't see the warning signs. I don't want Exciting Southeast Baptist to get comfortable, not take their salvation serious, understand the steadfastness of the scriptures, and then have to experience the sorrow of sin as you take the fall. God help us at Exciting Southeast not to be Christ neglectors, lest we drift away. Now the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If I'd have come in here and told you, I've got a question for you that God the Father Himself cannot answer. Some of you just said, no, you don't. And I'd say, oh, yes, I do. And I've got one that even God the Son cannot answer. Oh, no, you do not. I've got a question that the Holy Spirit Himself cannot answer. If I'd have said that before I preached this message, some of you would have probably argued. There is not one question that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit cannot answer. And I'd beg to differ. Yeah, there's one. Because it's an unanswerable question. There is no escape. You will not neglect. You will not escape if you neglect the so great a salvation. It's an unquestionable. There's no answer to escape it. If you're out there and you're lost tonight, if you're sitting and watching live stream and you're lost, let me tell you something. You will not escape if you don't accept God's salvation. And so if you're out there tonight, you're here tonight, I want you to know you will not escape if you neglect the so great a salvation that God offers you. So if you would, bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're listening there or if you're listening here and you've never been saved, I want to tell you there's been warning sign after warning sign preached by your family members, by this preacher here tonight. If you get caught dead without Jesus, you will not escape hell. And so if that's you tonight and you realize you're just getting closer and closer to that ultimate fall, death. And if you don't want to fall into eternal hell, but you rather want to be carried by the angels to an eternal heaven, don't neglect what God done for you. He loved you enough, He sent His Son to the cross. He was beaten before He got there. He was then nailed to the cross. Then He was placed in the grave. And on the third day, we call it the first Easter, He rose from the dead. And if you neglect believing that with all of your heart, confessing that with your mouth, and letting that change your life, never to be the same again, if you neglect that so great a salvation, you will not escape hell. And so if that's you tonight and you realize tonight's the night, God's Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, and I don't want to neglect this salvation because there's no escaping hell without it. I'd love to leave you in that prayer tonight. I'll remind you the prayer don't save you, but the person in whom you pray it to will. You can simply say, "Dear Jesus, there's no escaping hell without you. I acknowledge that. I believe that tonight. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you did die on the cross. And Lord, I believe you rose on the third day. And tonight, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and save me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul." Now, if you prayed that prayer, let me tell you something. Because you didn't neglect what God did for you through His Son's work on the cross and His resurrection from the grave, you just escaped hell. You're now heaven bound, and Jesus is now your new best friend. If you prayed that prayer, whether it's here or whether it's there, we need to know about it. Contact us by way of Facebook message. Let me know here tonight by raising a hand, but we want to know if you prayed that prayer. That's for those that are going to now escape hell. That's for the lost person. You will not escape hell if you neglect that so great a salvation. But now I want to ask you that's here to look up at me. I want to ask those that watching live stream to listen to what I'm saying. If we have prayed the prayer of salvation and we meant it with all of our heart, we've escaped hell. But I watch Christian life after Christian life be Christ neglectors. They neglect their walk with Christ. They don't take their salvation serious. They don't understand the steadfastness of the Scriptures. And therefore, they're dealing with a whole lot of sorrow of the sin that's crept in their life. Why? Because the Bible said, you will get your just reward for your transgressions and your disobedience. We've seen it over and over in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And I'm watching it happen all around me today. So exciting Southeast, let's heed the warning. Let's don't continue to drift, lest our life fall apart. You can still have heaven, but your life on earth be hell. Don't drift. Don't neglect your walk with Christ. Amen. And listen, let's all hold each other accountable to make sure that we're all doing that together. Amen. With that being said, I challenge you to do that as Christians.